May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's reading from Acts tells the story of one of the most important turning points in the whole life, the whole story of the church, and it all happened at a meal. The story begins with Peter facing a huge backlash among the other apostles and the growing crowd, which was the early church. And we have to remember that at this point, the church is essentially a community of faithful Jews, okay? Jesus was a Jew, and all of his early followers, all of them were Jews. Almost all of the stories that we have, there's a few exceptions, Jesus ministering among Jews. And as Jews, they followed the kosher laws, and they honored the Torah, and they were Jews, right? And as a Jew, they did not eat with Gentiles. There were lots of reasons why Jews and Gentiles did not eat together, but the simplest truth is that a lot of the food that the Gentiles bought and ate had been sacrificed in religious rites to various different gods and goddesses. So we read in the Old Testament about wave offerings. So I would bring my wheat or my whatever I'm going to, right, and I would wave it before the altar, and I would consecrate it to God. And in the Jewish tradition, then it would go to the priests. But in the pagan traditions of ancient Rome, most of the time, then it would go to market. That's how it happened. And so when we hear about food sacrifice to idols, that's like all of the food in the markets. That's like everything from Safeways, basically. And so the Jews and the Gentiles did not buy food from the same marketplaces. They did not buy the same supplies. The animals under the kosher laws, and still to this day, there's rules about how they are slaughtered, how they are handled. So basically, you know, right from square one, right from scratch, right from the ingredients, these two groups of people had a problem. They were not going to eat together. And of course, the kosher laws for Jews include strict rules about what they can and cannot eat, which was very, very different from the dietary customs of the Romans. And the Jews follow practices beforehand for ritual washing and cleansing, and there are mealtime rituals that were part of daily life. And there were those things for the Romans as well, for the Gentiles as well, obviously, two different gods and goddesses. So eating itself, the food preparation, the ingredients, eating as a ritual, all of it was religious. And they were two different religious traditions, so they did not eat together. The mere idea of eating for Jews, the mere idea of eating with Gentiles would have been horrifying. It would have been very offensive. It would have turned their stomach. It would have made their skin crawl, thinking about that Gentile food and those Gentile hands and where that all had been. And so our story today begins with what to us seems not all that, you know, complicated. Oh, Peter has been eaten with Gentiles. But, I mean, really, like, would have made some people feel bile rising in their throat at the idea of eating with Gentiles. Peter has entered a Gentile house, has crossed the threshold, has eaten food that came from markets where it had been sacrificed to idols, eaten food with hands that were not washed and purified according to the rituals, sat down to table with, and I'm sure that there was this sense of, my God, like, what would they have done at that mealtime? Because they probably had mealtime rituals, which were religious rituals as well. So the news comes back to the early Christians, and they just are revolted at this whole idea, and they're angry at Peter. Peter, what are you doing eating with those people? And his answer, it was God who called him there, saying that he should make no distinction between us and them, for God makes no distinction. This was a radical rewriting of the whole story. Peter tells his story, his vision of God inviting him to eat non-kosher food, in probably the weirdest vision in all of Christian history. His visit to the home of these friendly Gentiles, the story that they had had a vision saying that they should call Peter to come to them and that Peter would have a message of salvation for them. Peter's crossing of the threshold into the Gentile house, and then the fellowship that they shared together, and then his experience as he preached to them of seeing the Holy Spirit fall upon them exactly as it had fallen upon Peter himself and all those Jewish Christians on the day of Pentecost. And Peter ends his story almost with a shrug, like, if God gave them the same gift that he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to hinder God? And he falls silent, like mic drop. And I imagine that that whole silence filled the room. What Peter had shared was so radical, so challenging. They all needed a moment to process it. God was personally breaking down the walls between the Jews and the Gentiles, like those walls that God had spent quite a long time establishing. God was saying it was okay to eat with people from totally different religious traditions who did God alone knows what with their food. And you're saying, what about breaking the kosher laws? Whoa. But that lingering question of Peter's, if God is so determined to break down the walls between us, who are we to interfere? The book of Acts tells us that that silence was broken with rejoicing. Then God has given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Like, holy smokes, God has gone and done this thing in our lives, and now God is like doing that thing in their lives. Wow. But we know from the letters of Paul, which were documents written at the time when this was happening, and the book of Acts is kind of was written a little bit later with like the nicest memories, but the letters of Paul were written at the time when it was all happening. And we know from the letters of Paul that this radical new step by God took an awfully long time to sink into the hearts of the people. Paul writes how Peter actually was not the most enthusiastic supporter of the mission to the Gentiles, even years after it began. And the question of the Jews' special place in God's favor lingered for decades in the Christian church and divided congregations, and it pitted Christians against one another for years to come. Even Jews who thought that, no, God was doing some new thing, versus Jews who were saying, no, no, everybody needs to become a Jew. And that debate went on and on and on and on and on. And I would bet you that for years, many Jewish Christians still wrestled with their sense of disgust when it came time to eat with Gentiles. And that matter about where food comes from and who's preparing it and how they're preparing it, that sort of skin-crawling sense takes a long time to overcome. But this, friends, is the amazing part of this story to me, that Peter's faith was so strong that he submitted himself in willing obedience to God. He allowed himself to believe the vision that God brought him, and he followed what God instructed him to do by entering that house and putting aside his sense of disgust and looking upon these Gentiles with the eyes of faith. And he saw them as real human beings, just like him. And lo, my goodness, just like him, they turned out to be beloved children of God, whom God wished to save. And imagine this, just like Jesus gave his life for Peter, So the Lord had given his life for these Gentiles, and just like the Holy Spirit had been poured over him on the day of Pentecost, imagine this, the Holy Spirit was ready to pour her grace and power over them too. And you know what? Peter's heart was softened in obedience. And in obedience, he looked upon them with love. And in obedience, he took that unimaginable step and he ate with them. Still to this day, there are walls that divide us from one another, that there are even those moments where we just, I don't know about this. And still to this day, God calls our hearts to soften to one another, the work of redemption that I don't reckon God will ever actually finish until the final days. God has always called Christians into community together, people who are very different from one another. That is the oldest story of the church. People who are divided by many walls, invited to become brothers and sisters in Christ. And actually, we are not invited just to become brothers and sisters. We are invited to go one step closer than that, to become one body in Christ, one body. Now, this story of being many people united by Christ is very, very true at St. George's. We are from many different languages and races and cultures and life experiences here in this church. Here in our midst are many different political positions, many different theologies, many different ways of reading scripture, many different ways of hearing how God speaks to us. And yet, God has called us together to be brothers and sisters in Christ, just like God has always called very diverse people together to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And this year, God is calling us one step further to share fellowship with one another and to get to know each other better, to hear each other's stories and to be witnesses to one another about how God is working in one another's lives. I don't know if you've ever had this, but somebody will say, wow, God is really at work in your life. And you're like, what? This is just my regular messed up life. And they're like, no, really. Like, wow, that's pretty amazing. You're like, okay, whatever. And then later that does help. You look back on it and you go, maybe that was God at work in my life, even though it looked all very confusing at the time. To be witnesses to one another of how God is at work in our lives, how God is transforming our lives, how God is making differences in our lives in ways that perhaps to us, when we're living them, they are too small to really be noticeable. But to the people around us and our brothers and sisters in Christ, they see that God is at work in our lives, and we see that God is at work in their lives. And if we talk to each other about that, then gosh darn, can't we just see how God is at work in the world? And the more willing that we are to do that, the more willing that we are to open our hearts to one another, to overcome our natural shyness or our reserve or our, I don't know, lack of understanding about one another's cultures, or even there might be some deep-seated stuff there like those early Jewish Christians had to wrestle with, the more that we can overcome that in faithful obedience to God, the more that God will open our hearts to new people, and the more that God will open the hearts of other people to welcome our invitation when it comes. This is what Peter's deep obedience, Peter's faithful submission to the call of God did in his life. It opened his heart in love to people that he had only just met, with whom he had every reason in the world to be afraid or disgusted or repelled. Faithful submission opened his heart, and it changed the course of his whole life. There are lots of stories like this in Peter's life. Peter's life just kept getting changed, and this is a big one. And it changed the life of the church and it changed the course of history. What is the next step on this path that God calls you to, that God challenges you to? Here are your brothers and your sisters. Who have you not met? Whose story have you not heard? About whom have you not yet thought to be curious? With whom have you not yet taken time to share your story? God calls us to see one another with the eyes of faith. Beloved children of God, our neighbors as one for whom Christ died, over whom the Spirit has poured her grace and her power and poured out gifts, just like God has done for you. God is always ready to change our hearts, to transform our lives, to break down the walls that divide us. So, my brothers and sisters, what willing obedience does God ask of you this week? And how, my brothers and sisters, exactly are we going to say yes? Amen.